It's all good. Let's do this. How about Spencer? How about you pray for us this morning, okay? Amen. All right. Hey, if you haven't texted or emailed your updated contact info, please do that so we can have that. We're not going to take up an offering like we normally do. So there's a bucket at the back door and there's a plate up here. So if you're leaving and you want to drop it in the plate, you can, or drop it in the bucket. That will be okay. If you want to mail it in the week or use the digital giving, you can do that too. There are a lot of people that need prayer in our community. I want you to pray for Carson Cook. Carson used to come when she was just a little bitty thing, and now she is a full-grown adult woman, but she has cancer, and it's spreading, and she was in the hospital and got out, and she's back in, right? Sheila tells me that she's back in there this weekend. And so you just pray for her. How old is the baby? 3. Yeah, Carson's 23 and the baby is 3. So you be sure and pray for Carson. Pray for Donnie and Mona. And if you have a chance, send them a card, give them a call, let them know that you're praying for them. They would really, really appreciate that. Tara reminded us, she came early. Pray for the folks that work at the nursing home and people that are in the nursing home. When you're in the nursing home, you kind of lose track of days and you forget who's coming and going. So just pray for them and pray for the folks that are with them. Pray for the doctors and nurses as well, and people that you don't think about, maintenance techs, respiratory therapists. All those people have to work as well. Anybody else this morning that you want to pray for? Ain't Willow? Oh. Okay, well, we will sure pray for her. Anybody else this morning? Pray for Carson. Barb is going in this week and get her neck all fixed up. She'll be doing cartwheels here in a few weeks. Pray for Bobby White. Bobby is on dialysis, and they're going to put a port in, and he is going to be on the waiting list for a kidney, so you be sure and pray for him as well. Anybody else? Miss Webb, did you have somebody who's going to graduate this year? Yeah? Which one? Both of them graduated. That's right. Give them a hand. Ethan, congratulations. You survived. You survived high school. Scott, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Okay. So you're going into grad school now. So, well, congratulations. Congratulations. Are you going to finish the program at IU where you were? Okay, good. So one down, one more to go, and then we'll have at least 3 doctors around here. So that's great. Anybody else? Any other announcements or prayer requests that I forgot? Okay, well, let's pray for these, and then we got a couple of songs, and we're trying to keep it about 40 minutes. so that you don't fall asleep and snore. Okay? So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, when we get together to pray, we're grateful that we are able to get out and to go. And Lord, we do pray for Carson. I can't even begin to think about what that is like, and especially for her family. So God, we pray for Mom and Dad and for Donnie and Mona, as really your hands are kind of tied and you don't know what to do. So God, we pray for peace, and we pray for healing for Carson. Yes, I know it's in that advanced stage, but we know that you have done great miracles. They're documented in your word. And so, God, we ask for that now. Lord, we rejoice that Amber wasn't hurt worse than she was, and very grateful and thankful that she was able to come home and be with her family. And so, God, we just ask that you would bring healing to her as well. Lord, we pray for Bobby as he has a port put in and is going to be on dialysis for a while, that God, that you would meet his needs. God, we pray for Barbara today. I can only imagine what that's like and the pain. So we pray that the procedure will be helpful to her. God, we rejoice with Alice that Scott and Ethan both have graduated one down, and they're on the next leg of their journey. And as Scott heads into grad school and Ethan heads into college, that you would give them wisdom and grace for these days. Now, Father, we ask that you would meet with us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to, you don't have to stand up. We're going to sing a video, and then we're going to go right into victory in Jesus after that. So let's see. You can try it. And Trish, will you just hit the forward thing? Or just click on it. Maybe it'll go. There it goes. Me and technology have not gotten along the last 8 weeks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks Jesus Christ is come. And now let the weak stay up and strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of
things that we can be thankful for every day, even when times are difficult. So we're going to sing Victory in Jesus. Barb, let's do the first and the last one. How's that? Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. And I heard about the streets of gold, a wretch like me. Well, I missed it. Of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Barb, thank you for coming. I know you're doing fine. You're doing fine. All right. Hey, if you would turn in your Bibles or find it on your phone, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. As Paul is writing his letter, in chapter 1, verse 6, he mentions about the suffering, the persecution, and the struggles that the Thessalonian Christians have experienced because of their faith. Paul knows firsthand what that is like. And so he writes to encourage them because he's heard about all of these things. And as he finishes up his first letter to them, he writes, "Rejoice always." Now, when you're suffering, when you're dealing with persecution, When you're suffering physically, emotionally, maybe it's your kid or your grandkid or your family member that you're dealing with, you don't always feel happy. But Paul says, he writes, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. And that doesn't mean that you pray with your eyes closed and your head bowed and your hand folded. There's nothing wrong with that. And when we think of praying, that's the mental image that we get because that's what we're used to. If you see pictures that kids draw, what do they draw? Somebody with their heads bowed and their hands folded and their eyes closed. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. He says, pray without ceasing. Then in verse 18, in everything, we might say in spite of everything that you are experiencing or everything that's going on around you or in your life, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And over the last 6-8 weeks, we have experienced things that very few people alive have experienced. This quarantine, people call it an enforced lockdown, all kinds of things. All of it's been done in an effort to minimize the spread of that COVID virus. And I can't tell you if the virus is man-made. I can't tell you if it's natural. But this much I do know. It's very communicable, at least from what I'm reading and hearing. And so it's real. It's out there. And there's nothing that we can do about it. But a lot of people are beginning to show signs of mental weariness from being locked up. And I read an article just the other day that doctors are beginning to be greatly concerned that the next wave of things that they're going to be seeing in doctors' offices, in emergency rooms, are mental health issues, suicides, attempted suicides, those kinds of things. And so it's going to be a challenge for all of us. But as God's people, God has given us the tools to deal with these things, but we have to engage them. And Paul helps us with that. And he says, rejoice always. Now, I found this statement and I wanted to share it with you. Joy depends on a relationship with God, not a pleasant experience in life. Joy depends on a relationship with God and not a pleasant experience in life. If you think about it, Paul's telling them to rejoice or to have joy, not happiness, but to have joy as they're going through life. Now, Paul writes the church, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, those are what we call the prison epistles. Paul writes them and he gives them from prison. Now, prison is not a happy place to be. It's not even a nice place to be. And so Paul gives that persona that you can have joy in spite of what's going on around you when you have a relationship with God and it isn't dependent upon pleasant experiences. The church at Thessalonica was going through persecution, torture, beatings, stonings, all of those types of things that we unfortunately read about in the news from some of our brothers across the globe. And they have joy in many cases. I found this definition of biblical joy. Biblical joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction because we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish His work in and through our lives. Biblical joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction because we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish His work in and through our lives. Believers all across the globe experience hunger. Some of them suffer unimaginable things, extreme poverty, and in many cases, what I have witnessed is that those people don't have what we would call the necessities of life, or as the old Walt Disney video says, the bare necessities. They don't have what we have, and yet they have a joy that is deep and abiding. It's when we confuse joy and happiness, that's when we often get into trouble. Pleasant experiences come and go. And sometimes they change quickly. If you think about it, over the last 30, 60, 90 days even, we've gone from getting up and running out of here like our hair was on fire so that we can get the best seat at Jack's, closest to the buffet, or you're trying to beat the Methodist to the Mexican restaurant, or you're going to Bob Evans and hopefully trying to get ahead of the crowd. Our life has changed dramatically. We've gone from that to not going anywhere for most of us. And so if our joy, if our happiness is built around those things, those experiences, our joy's going to leave. And if we think about things closer to home, like Michigan, where two dams have failed and thousands of people have had to be evacuated quickly, we quickly realize that we have things that we're thankful for. My sister, who lives in Williamstown, they got 5 inches of rain in, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours. In 25 years, they've never had water in their basement, but they do now. They had about 5 inches of water, 3 to 5 inches of water, which is not anything compared to what other people have had, I know. But it happened quickly. It happened just over the period of a couple of hours. Everything was fine, and then all of a sudden, water's everywhere. They don't know what to do. And when our happiness, when our joy is dependent upon those types of things, we're going to be in trouble. But as we go forward in the days and weeks ahead, we need to be God's people that have joy in spite of having to wear an annoying mask everywhere that we go, or into a restaurant or into a place. If you go out there, they may ask you to, and it's an annoyance. But it shouldn't rob us of joy. And Paul says, rejoice always, even when bad things happen. Even when bad things happen in your life that you don't understand. Then he moves to praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing. J.B. Lightfoot wrote, it is not in the moving of the lips, but in the elevation of the heart to God, that the essence of prayer consists. Now listen, it is not in the moving of lips. It's not in the words that we say. But it is in the elevation of the heart to God that the essence of prayer consists. Now we've looked at prayer and we've talked about it. We haven't exhausted it. No one ever will. We can all pray more. We can pray better. We can pray more effectively. But we need to remember that it isn't the words that we say. It's the condition of the heart toward God. That is the difference. That's the essence of prayer. Prayer is the communication between God and man. And prayer is more than just the words that we say. It is the actions that we do. It is the thoughts that we think. It is the attitudes that we have. And sometimes things are going to go on in our life and we don't even know what to say. We don't know what to do. And we cry and we groan and we beat our heads on the pillows or our fists. And we don't know what to do. And we think, well, what is God going to do with that? Well, I have good news for you. The Holy Spirit takes those groanings, those utterings, those things that can't be verbalized. Now, I don't know about you, but there were times in my educational experience where the grades were less than stellar. And when I would go home with that, the groaning would begin. Oh, gosh. We all go through those experiences, those episodes in life, where we groan and we don't know what to do. God's Holy Spirit takes those utterings and He transforms and translates them into prayer. Now, don't ask me how He does that. I don't know. He's an interpreter and He can do it. I can't. But those things that we can't even verbalize, that we can't put words to, God hears them. Now, when He gets to continual, to the idea without ceasing, I found this definition. Continual prayer is the ongoing reminder that God's children are always and wholly dependent upon their Heavenly Father. If we have learned anything over the last 60 days, we have learned about how dependent we really are on God. Because a microscopic organism has wiped out, in many cases, businesses, savings, restaurants, education experiences, all those things. Something that our naked eye cannot see, something that we didn't do, something that we didn't foist on everyone, all of this has happened. We are wholly dependent upon God for our very existence. And if we've learned anything, surely God's people have learned that. And when He says, pray without ceasing, who do we pray for? Pray for your government leaders. Now, Governor Holcomb says and does things I don't always agree with. President Trump tweets things that make me scratch my head and go, what? And we may agree, we may disagree with him, but I don't know that any of us in this room or on Facebook today would say, you know what, put me in that chair, I know exactly what to do. They've got to make decisions that none of us have ever had to make. And those decisions are going to have repercussions for families, for communities that we don't even realize yet. For Brandon, can you imagine what it, you know, Missy has three at home and trying to work. Can you imagine what it's like for Brandon? You got a thousand kids, basically, that you're going to have to be responsible for. How do you do that? Cleaning and feeding and all of those things. And people that you don't even think about praying for on a normal instance, like our health department. Now, Regina gives shots and she looks at colds and tells you, hey, you need to go to the doctor. Never in her life did she think about, well, you know what, I'm going to have to deal with the pandemic. But that's what you sign up for. You sign up for these days as a pastor, as a school superintendent, as a lineman for Duke Energy. That's what you get. We don't think we're ever going to have to deal with it, but we do. So you need to pray for your government leaders, national, state, and local. Pray for your healthcare workers, your doctors and nurses. They've been working. They're still working. Tara reminded us that she is seeing people. Twyla isn't here and won't be here for the next 3 or 4 weeks, she said, because at the hospital, I think she works at Good Sam in Cincinnati, she's been in contact with people that have the disease. She said, I don't want to bring that and give it to Barb or Carolyn or anyone else or expose them to it knowingly. So people like that are going to have to stay in. And they need your prayers. They don't really know. They know a few things, but they don't know everything. So pray for them. But then he comes to that last section in verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Now notice what Paul says there. In everything. Don't give thanks because of everything. Don't give thanks just for the good things. But in everything, or in spite of everything that you have experienced in life, give thanks. And I just jotted a couple of things down to remind us that we all have things to be thankful for. I'm thankful that we live in a small town. Now, I know we all joke about people knowing what you're going to do before you do it around here. And I was shocked to find out that the dollar store was doing a reset and it wasn't plastered all over Facebook. I just happened to be driving by and see coolers outside. I thought, what on earth is going on around here? So we joke about that and we complain about not having a Chick-fil-A to drive through and get a milkshake and the best chicken sandwich on the planet, I think. We complain about those things, but we haven't experienced what my friend in downtown Vernon, Indiana, Don Morris at Vernon Baptist Church, their church was the epicenter for the COVID virus in their community. A church of 150 had about 20 people with confirmed cases. They haven't met since March 9th, I don't think. They haven't been able to. I think he told me that they had 20 people on a ventilator at one time in various hospitals because someone in their church, I think they worked in Louisville, they were exposed to it. They didn't know. They were at church on Sunday, and by like Tuesday or Wednesday of that week, maybe Thursday, they were in the hospital. The next day, they're on a ventilator and were there for 30 days. We haven't had that in our community, and I'm very sorrowful and grieved for the folks, the 13 or 14 folks that have the cases in our county, but we have not experienced what a lot of other communities have. So we can be thankful that we live in a small town. I'm thankful for the grace that God has shown to me because I am highly susceptible to everything right now, and I haven't had it. And I'm just reminded of what Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Grace is everything God does for us, even when we don't deserve it. Psalm 103 reminds us, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals us and he redeems us." I'm very grateful that when I went for the MRI back at the end of February and the 1st of March, that the doctor said, "You're good, but we want you to take antibiotics for the next 6 months and stay on it." That's God's grace for me because I catch everything. And I'm thankful for that when this life is over, I have a heavenly home prepared. He reminds us in John 14, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Our bodies are going to wear out. We're going to leave this planet one day. But our soul, the essence of our humanity, is going to go be in the presence of God and then one day be reunited with our resurrected bodies. We're going to go there. And we're going to be reunited with people and friends that we've heard this week. Ravi Zacharias died and went to heaven. He passed from this life and went to heaven. I'll get to see him. I never saw him live and in person. He's one of the few guys on the radio that you have to listen to his sermon with a dictionary and a thesaurus. He's very well educated, could talk to people way above my pay grade who would understand all of those things. And I've got to have a dictionary. Okay, what does that mean? Well, how would I? And it was just, but he was great at what he did. He could speak to intellectuals, well-educated people, and I'll get to see him there in that home in heaven. We will be rewarded for all the work that we have done for the Lord here. You're going to be rewarded for being faithful. Georgia for teaching, Tricia for getting up and going to work and then teaching a Sunday school class, Barb for playing, even though she may not quite feel like playing, and you for being here, even though you may wonder and feel like, gee, I'm not real sure I ought to go today, but you came. The Lord is going to reward us for being faithful. We're going to get reassigned things to do in heaven. I do not believe that we're just going to sit around heaven and play harps and flick and shoot spit wads at each other like class. We're just not going to do that. God has something for us to do in heaven. Remember, God created the heavens and the earth, and he put Adam and Eve in the middle of the garden to tend it. Before the fall, there was something for them to do. God's got something for us to do. What that's going to look like, I don't know. But heaven is going to be a place where we are released from the pain and the conflict and the sorrow that we experience in this life. And I'm thankful that when this life is over, we have a place to go to. We can be thankful that we live where we live. We can be thankful for the grace that God has shown to each of us. We can be thankful that when this life is over, and it will be one day, no matter how much we exercise, no matter how well we eat, no matter what we eat or don't eat, our physical bodies are going to leave. But our soul and our spirit is going to go be in the presence of God, where we're going to be at for all of eternity. And I'm thankful for that. So as we finish up today, how can you be more thankful this week? How can you take that thankfulness and share it with others and remind them that, yeah, it's been terrible and it's been awful, but we all have things to be thankful for. How can you take that message from God and share it with folks that you're going to come in contact with this week? Because that's our challenge. As the mental health challenges mount up and potential and attempted suicides begin to mount, they're going to be looking for answers. And those answers are going to come from God's Word and God's people as we share it each and every day. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we bring to a conclusion our worship time today, God, remind us of all that we have to be thankful for. No, not everything is going to be pleasant in this life, but we all have things that we can be thankful for. God, help us to focus and to think about those as we go through our days and weeks ahead and share them with folks that we come into contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to sing a gospel song of invitation, and this will also serve as our benediction. So let's stand together, and if you have a need or a reason and you want to come, you come as we sing. We're going to sing "Just As I Am." You don't even need a book.
Just as I am, and without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Hang on there, Barb. I want to thank you all for being here. I'm going to turn this